Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Sean Defoe is with me. In the meantime, our political correspondent, Sean. What happened to Fianna Fáil's candidate? Talk me through this.
Well, that is the big question, isn't it? Look, Jim Gavin obviously was the parachute candidate. He was the celebrity candidate brought in by Micheál Martin, championed by him to be Fianna Fáil's great white hope for this presidential election, the first time they've contested it in the 21st century. And he, on paper, had a lot of attributes that might make a good president. He had a lot of people who would speak up for him. Obviously, one of the most successful managers in Dublin GAA history, as he was pointing out endlessly on your debate with him the other night, that he had chaired the inner city task force, that he served in the defence forces for many years. So a great CV on paper. And let's be honest, the campaign wasn't going great. He wasn't able to transfer all of that into a coherent argument for why he should be president. He kind of reminded me, you know that great story about the 1960s US presidential TV debate, first ever TV debate that was aired, and people who watched it on television thought JFK won comfortably, and people who listened on the radio thought Nixon won comfortably. And if you took all of what Jim Gavin had to say and put it out on paper, you'd say, well, that's actually a pretty coherent argument. The problem was he couldn't deliver it and he couldn't actually get it across. And then comes a couple of minor controversies, the whole thing with the drone, all that sort of stuff. But the one that really unstuck him was this story about when he was a landlord. He had a tenant, the tenant left, but forgot to cancel or didn't cancel or the wasn't cancelled anyway, the standing order for €500 or a bit more than €500 a month to him. And as a result, Jim Gavin ended up with €3,300 that he wasn't really entitled to. And that when that tenant went to try and get it back through contacting him, through solicitors' letters, through everything else, it was ignored. And this ultimately appears to be the issue. He didn't deal with it on Sunday when he was asked about it on the TWIP debate. It was put to him. He said, oh yeah, I'm looking into it. We're going to get the details. And it was just a few hours later anyway, obviously he looked into the details and found that he had in fact done this, and he steps away from the campaign. The big question is, how in the name of God did this not get found by the people in Fianna Fáil who were meant to vet Jim Gavin?
They had a rigorous vetting process, according to Jack Chambers this morning.
Obviously not that rigorous. So usually, so just from people inside, if anyone is running for the council or for a TD or for a senator with Fianna Fáil, they have to do a couple of things. One, they have to sign this kind of party pledge to basically say, I'm not going to make a holy show of you and there's nothing in my background and I haven't had any sort of big, massive issue. They have to provide things like a tax clearance cert as well. There's actually a bit of a process. And from talking to TDs today and some TDs who supported Jim Gavin to get him through the parliamentary party, they say, they all were kind of told that was done or assumed it was done or were assured by Micheál Martin that, yes, there's nothing in the closet here. I'm vouching for this guy. He's above board and he's grand. Please back him. Mm. And if Micheál Martin hadn't done that and hadn't invested a lot of his own political capital in Jim Gavin, I don't think he would have beaten Billy Kelleher. And it would be Billy Kelleher as the candidate. We wouldn't be in this situation. So either, and this is what a couple of TDs have said to me, either the process was not anywhere near rigorous enough and didn't pick it up, or Jim Gavin misled Fianna Fáil. Either intentionally or non-intentionally, that's kind of nearly beside the point. But they're the two things they keep coming back to. And this Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting on Wednesday is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough for Micheál Martin because he's a lot of questions to answer.
All right. Well, listen, we might come back to them in a moment and what this means for the presidential race as well, Sean. But Michael Regan is with me. He's a Fianna Fáil councillor in Galway. Michael, what questions do you think this raises for Micheál Martin?
Well, first of all, I have to say I feel sorry for Jim Gavin and the outset, because Jim Gavin didn't put up his hand to run for the presidency. He was approached by the Fianna Fáil headquarters and Micheál Martin. And there was no process in this whatsoever. None of our Fianna Fáil members, like Jim Gavin was not even a member of Fianna Fáil. We had Fianna Fáil members, people that had given excellent service to the party and to the country, were not even asked to go forward or wasn't even let to go forward. And I mentioned this a month ago, that this would not work. Jim Gavin, to me, he was a manager in Dublin and a very successful manager in his life as a Dublin manager. Mm. But very, very, very clearly, there was a period of time he didn't speak to the media. And as a manager, he was able to get away with that. But in politics, when the media come, you've got to answer the questions. You've no control.
And what do you think that shortcoming, his inability to get that message across, that should have been noted?
Well, I think his advisors, and again, it goes back to Fianna Fáil headquarters. I mean, you mentioned there at the start, he was out on a farm with a white pants. He'd be better off. He was wearing trunks and run around him, and if you put his feet into a bucket of water, he'd be better off. Then you had the drone issue. Then you had the army personnel. It was all slippage yeah. all the time.
Now, none of those were his fault. He's not running Jim Gavin for president. I think that's the Twitter or the Instagram handle for his account. I doubt he's posting anything on it. It's some social media manager, either employed by Fianna Fáil or contracted by Fianna Fáil. And yeah, Jim Gavin's the one who gets all the stick for it. Now, sorry, the rental issue, that's absolutely on him, and he'd have to admit it, and he's not without fault in all of this. But all those other so-called Gavin's gaffes, I mean, they're Fianna Fáil gaffes.
They are, and that's where it really comes into play here, that we've got to look at, as a Fianna Fáil member, the grassroots are never contacted on anything unless it's for a membership or unless it's for a national draw. When all these TDs and senators, and I'm talking about the 40 people that supported Jim Gavin, I call them lambs, and now they need to stand up and be very clear to say that we're taking no more of this. And Micheál Martin, I think, for the sake of the party, has to really look at himself and say, it's time for me to step away. Or is there going to be more of a debate with his leadership, which would be totally unacceptable and could probably place a divide in the party. And also the Fianna Fáil headquarters with Sean Dorgan and Deirdre Gillan, they have to ask themselves the same question. Because who asked Jim Gavin to run? And when was he asked? And when did he become a member?
Niall Collins is a TD. He's a Minister of State at the Department of Justice. Niall, do you think Micheál Martin needs to, as Michael suggests, look in the mirror and ask himself whether it's time to step down?
Well, look, I mean, this is hugely disappointing. There's no two ways about it, and there's no sugarcoating it, Kieran. It's a very, very disappointing development right in the middle of the presidential election. We're the largest party in the Dáil, in the Oireachtas. We're the largest party at local government. We have an extensive membership around the country, and we wanted to be real contenders in this contest. We hadn't contested the presidential election in almost 28 years. We sat it out on the last number of occasions when there was a contest. So I think there was a real appetite within the party. So, you know, given, you know, with that backdrop, it's a hugely, hugely disappointing day. Micheál Martin will be as disappointed, or if not the greatest disappointed person within the whole organisation. I think, you know, a lot of people are asking, the likes of myself and others, you know, questions about Micheál Martin and his leadership and his future and all that. This is a Fianna Fáil issue. You know, we will deal with this. We'll have a proper structured review in relation to this. We'll have a proper post-mortem. I always held the view that our party rule, our party structure should have changed well before now, in terms of allowing our councillors and our membership the opportunity to partake in the selection of a presidential candidate. Mm. But look, at the end of the day, Micheál Martin's our Taoiseach, he's our leader, he's the head of state. You know, the ordinary people out there, this is a Fianna Fáil bubble political party issue. The ordinary people out there who get up in the mornings, have to go to work, make ends meet, have to rear their kids, look after their family duties,
yeah,
you know, be involved in their communities. You know, they have far more important issues. We have the budget this week.
Yeah.
We've all of that going on.
Yeah, we do. And we'll be talking about the budget later. But just on that front, those people you describe who are inclined to vote Fianna Fáil, they might be wondering now how to vote. Will you be backing Heather Humphreys?
Well, look, I mean, we didn't get involved in endorsing any other candidates on previous occasions when we didn't have a candidate in the race. And I don't know whether that will, you know, that's not really a question.
The difference maybe this time is you're in government with Fine Gael, so it's slightly different now from previous iterations of the election.
Yeah, but look, Heather Humphreys isn't, you know, nobody was a government candidate. Heather Humphreys is the Fine Gael party candidate. And like at the end of the day, there's two remaining candidates. You know, the public will have ample opportunity to make up their minds and observe them and come to an informed choice in relation to who the public want, and the public are well capable of doing that. And I don't think today of all days is the day for anybody within Fianna Fáil to be seeking to, direct or, advise members of the public on how they should vote. That's just my own personal view in relation to it. Maybe we'll have a discussion as a parliamentary party, in due course, in a couple of days' time. But certainly today isn't the day for that.
Who will you vote for?
Who will I vote for? I'll probably vote for Heather Humphreys. I think she represents more of what I want to see in the presidency rather than Catherine Connolly. Look, that's just a personal choice.
Paddy O'Sullivan is with us as well. Sorry, now at the Cork North Central TD for Fianna Fáil. Paddy, would you have been happier if Billy Kelleher's name had been on the ballot all along?
Yeah, hi, Kieran. Yeah, well, look, I think it goes without saying that I was supportive of Billy publicly at the time. I genuinely felt for Jim Gavin in the last 24 hours. I felt that it was quite a big task for him to come in new to politics, especially this election. We all know what the presidential election entails. We've seen good people in the past fall foul to it for a variety of reasons. So I genuinely do have sympathy with Jim Gavin today. Do I feel Billy would have done better? I obviously do. That's why I supported him. That's why I lobbied people on his behalf. I just feel that this election, more than any, requires political experience. It's probably the most important attribute of any president, what have they done politically and what have they achieved. And I do believe that Billy would have delivered that in spades.
Do you think there's questions now for Fianna Fáil leadership?
I believe the party genuinely, collectively, has a lot of questions to answer. How this, I suppose, unfolded the way it did, how we actually got to a point that Jim Gavin was selected. I'll be straight with you. I would have heard a rumour myself as I was lobbying for votes for Billy Kelleher, and I double-checked my phone where I texted somebody not so long ago on the 12th of September where I had heard something about Jim Gavin and potentially problem with it, a former tenant. Now, that goes back to the 12th of September, and if I, a lowly backbencher, had wind of that at that point in time, not knowing the full details now, if I be truthful, but if I had managed to get that information, then I don't understand why the machine at the party weren't aware of it or why it wasn't.
I'm sorry, Paddy, the information you had was that, well, how accurate was it, or how much detail was it? Had you?
To be fair, there was no detail. It was something that was said to me by a member of another political party, and I won't disclose who, that there was an issue with a former tenant. And as I said, I double checked my phone. I actually forgot all about it until somebody.
Another government party
today. No, it wasn't. No, and that was dated the 12th of September. So I'm just saying, if I, as a lowly backbencher, got wind of something like that, I don't see how the party hierarchy and the machine of the party weren't prepared for this.
Did you pass that message on to anyone else in the party?
Well, obviously at the time we were in, a contested convention with Billy versus Jim Gavin, and at that time we didn't. Now, if I passed every rumour that I heard in the corridors of Leinster House up the line at various times, I'd be a very, very busy person. I probably wouldn't get out of the Taoiseach's office if that was the case.
Oh, sorry, again, but that was the 12th of September you heard that?
Yes.
All right. Sean Defoe is still with us, our political correspondent. So, Sean, despite what Jack Chambers and everybody else are saying this morning, it seems this was swirling around in certain political circles as much as a month ago, or close to a month ago. What does all this mean for the election?
Yeah, good question. But that's fascinating, isn't it, that rumour was out there? So that really puts bay to the question that maybe there was very little due diligence of Jim Gavin done here. It's interesting what it means for the election in that, obviously, we have a head-to-head for the first time since the early 1970s. I think Erskine Childers, Tom O'Higgins, was the last time there was a head-to-head in a presidential election. And it changes the dynamic, because after the debate the other day and the polling that we had, I thought it was going to be a very close run thing between Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys anyway, and that Jim Gavin's transfers, the polling said they'd go 60-40 to Humphreys over Catherine Connolly. So that means a couple of things. For one, Heather Humphreys can't sit back as she did in the debate with you. There's nowhere to hide now. There's no third candidate to hide behind. There's no one else to go attacking Catherine Connolly. If she wants to win this, she has to absolutely go out and win it. What will be crucial is, what do the Fianna Fáilers do? Do they do like Niall Collins is going to do and back Heather Humphreys because she's the closest thing now to a Fianna Fáiler in the race? Or do they just stay at home? And that would be the big risk, I think, for Heather Humphreys, in that the transfers she might have got from Jim Gavin, from Fianna Fáilers who would turn out to vote for him, simply won't materialise because those people won't come to the ballot box at all. And the people who are more likely to vote for Catherine Connolly, more left-leaning, more looking at a cause, maybe more Gaza-motivated, are probably more likely to turn out. So I think, albeit with an awful long time to go in 2.5 weeks in this election, it's advantage Catherine Connolly. But this could be a very, very close and very interesting race. And just remember, if people haven't heard what the rule is going to be, Jim Gavin will be on the ballot paper. People will be able to vote for him and put that down, whether that's as a protest vote, for the crack, whatever they do. And those transfers will then be counted, although they will be, you would imagine, minuscule.
Yeah, well, listen, we're actually going to be speaking to Art O'Leary from Comisión Tocán a little bit later, the Electoral Commission, about this and much more besides. The final date to register for voting in the election is tomorrow. So Art is going to talk through all of that. In the meantime, Sean, thank you. Sean Dufour, political correspondent, Paddy O'Sullivan, Cork North Central TD for Fianna Fáil. Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Fianna Fáil TD, of course, as well. Minister, thank you. And Michael Regan, Fianna Fáil councillor in Galway. 087-1400-106. Lots and lots and lots of people getting in touch about Jim Gavin, like John, who says, "Hi, Kieran. When you're speaking to the person from the Electoral Commission later, could you ask him what would happen if, by some miracle, Jim Gavin got a massive majority after the first count?" Elizabeth says, "Why does everyone feel sorry for him? None of them mentioned the poor tenant who had to write off his €3,300, presumably because he could not afford to take legal action. That is who I identify with." Paul in Dundrum simply says, "It's a sad reflection on our country when this is the best we can muster up to run for president." And somebody here says, "This farce of an election should be abandoned. Start again and choose worthy candidates. Dull and duller are just hopeless." One is, I'm not going to keep reading that. That's just name calling you're getting into there now. Rory says, "Sean Kelly can count himself shortchanged too. May have been assumed in Fine Gael circles that Jim Gavin would take the GAA vote. An all-round mess. Lowest turnout ever. The lowest turnout ever last time will probably be beaten now. So Fine Gael will get the Grey vote. Who will have their say?" That just trails into incoherence, Rory. No offence, your text at the end. I think a few spelling corrections. 087-1400-106. Conor Lenehan is with me, a former Fianna Fáil minister. Conor, would you agree with the start of Rory's text, at least? This is a farce.
It is a farce, and unfortunately it's a farce with consequences. I think that's the word Billy Kelleher used earlier this morning. There has to be consequences to this, and of course the leadership of Fianna Fáil in the general sense will have to take some responsibility for what's happened here, because quite a lot of my colleagues, people who served with me at the time and are still serving in Leinster House, mentioned this to me some months ago, that they were expecting that the party would stand a candidate, and it seemed to me that Micheál Martin dithered and was typically, as he's often accused of being, indecisive and couldn't find a candidate or didn't want a candidate, and then at the last minute was forced into having a candidate by dint of the fact that Mairead McGuinness dropped out of the race in fading health grounds, etc. And that forced him into having a candidate, and then it had to be Micheál's candidate, and unfortunately that ended up disrespecting a great many of his senior former colleagues, including Bertie Hearn, Eamon O'Queeve, and of course Mary Hanafin, all three serious serving politicians with a background and experience that might merit it being candidates. And in fact, if one looks at the campaign to date, I've no doubt that Bertie Hearn or Eamon O'Queeve, or indeed maybe even Mary Hanafin, might have done much better than Jim Gavin in this contest.
The official line, yeah.
And that's before the controversy in regard to the police has the money he owed, you know?
The official line, of course, from everybody senior within the party, within the parliamentary party, is that they were all four square behind Jim Gavin. But I, like you, I'm sure, have been speaking to some of those parliamentary party members, you know, off the record in recent weeks, and they were far from four square behind Jim Gavin. Quite a lot of them would have preferred to see Billy Kelleher's name on the ballot.
Well, that's natural. I mean, Billy Kelleher was a huge vote getter down there in Munster, where he was an MEP. He's also served as a minister and a TD over the years. So extraordinary experience, and a very good manner, and very, very popular with his colleagues. And obviously with the electorate, you don't get elected to big elections like the European Parliament without having a strong degree of popularity. I think also that a lot of, privately certainly, members of the party in County Cork, I feel very betrayed. You know, down in Cork, they tend to be a little bit fanish about one of their own being in the ring. And I don't think a lot of members of the Fianna Fáil party in Cork or in the Munster area generally are particularly happy that a Cork Taoiseach and leader of the party decided not to support his colleague in Cork, you know?
I don't see this being kind of a fatal wound to Micheál Martin in the short term, but it's certainly damaging. How damaging is it to Jack Chambers, given, you know, his name is tied inextricably to Jim Gavin's nomination as well? And in a lot of people's minds, certainly in Micheál Martin's mind, it appears, he is the successor.
Well, I mean, Jack Chambers is tied to this result and other results, but in particular, he's tied to Micheál Martin now. And unfortunately for both Jack Chambers and, to a certain extent, more importantly for Micheál Martin, is that the Fianna Fáil press office decided on Friday to issue a press statement which can only be described as a tissue of lies to the Irish Independent. And people will have to be held account for that as well. I mean, I know everybody expects or thinks that people in politics tell lies or mislead people, but what was told to the Irish Independent on Friday turned out to be an entire tissue of lies. And that lie, that responsibility for telling those lies, lies fully and squarely with the party leadership or the director of elections.
But they didn't. I mean, they weren't lying consciously, one would assume. I mean, they were just kind of relaying the facts as they were given. And in fairness, Jim Gavin was claiming that, you know, he knew nothing about this right through until the week in politics debate.
I find that hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that anybody in this country, I know people are trying to belittle the amount of money owed here, but I think if you owed £3,000 to me 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you didn't repay it, I think I'd remember it, and certainly you'd remember it too. And I find it hard to believe. And I think most ordinary people find it hard to believe that somebody would have a debt of £3,000 and they wouldn't remember it. It doesn't ring with me. And I've been in business for the last few years and I've been in politics, and I simply don't believe that. I simply find it very difficult to believe that somebody, and you know, 3,000, whether people want to belittle it now in the times that we have, as a very small amount of money. It's not a small amount of money to people who are struggling at a particular time. And that was a period when people were struggling. So I can't believe that people were there. I can't believe that was put forward to the newspapers when the newspaper already had information and solid proof. And that, I think, there has to be a very strong inquiry why party officials or party senior people in the party were prepared to lie with such ease to a national newspaper, which clearly within a day or two produced the evidence.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the people who wrote that press release are not here to defend themselves. They might say, listen, we didn't tell any lies. We just we provided the information that had been provided to us.
It's clear in relation to Mr. Gavin that not enough verification, not enough of candidate testing and probing was done, or what people call due diligence.
Well, listen, I think that's true. We actually spoke to a Fianna Fáil TD earlier in the show, Paddy O'Sullivan from Cork North Central, and he told us that he actually heard about this way back at the beginning of September, that somebody from an opposition party, it sounded like, had said this to him, that this story was doing the rounds, and I understand other people had heard it too. So, I mean, it wouldn't have taken a huge amount of due diligence and you know how rumours spread amongst the political classes, Connor, if somebody knows it, everybody knows it.
Well, that's my point, that the leadership of Fianna Fáil is severely damaged because there's something desperately wrong with their antennae or their vetting procedures or their due diligence. Basically, this cuts to the very quick of the competence of the Fianna Fáil leadership at this particular time. Mm. And that's Mr. Martin, and may include Mr. Chambers and anybody else who shares the cabinet around the table with them, because they're collectively the leadership. And the leadership has not covered itself in glory on this particular issue, and it's very, very clear to anybody that this is not a competently run campaign. It wasn't a competently run selection process. It reeks of, and a lot of my colleagues say that they were essentially frog-marched into supporting Mr. Gavin, that there wasn't a real choice. So it's quite remarkable that Billy Keller got 25 votes that he did, sorry, the 29 votes that he got. It's just quite remarkable, given that the duress and the pressure that was being put on from the leadership level, from Mr. Yeah. Martin, in fact, well, on his colleagues to vote for Mr. Gavin in the first place.
Well, let me introduce David W. Higgins, who's with us as well, the independent economist and political analyst. David, where does this leave the presidential race?
Well, we're down to two now. So it's going to be Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys, who will only be the two viable candidates to vote for on the day. Jim Gavin's name, of course, will appear on the ballot paper. The opinion poll that came out over the weekend actually did a simulation on transferring Jim Gavin's votes, because he was in third place going into that weekend's poll. And it left us, it seems, with Catherine Connolly coming on 53% with the transfers, and then 47% to Heather Humphreys. That could be interpreted as a sizable Catherine Connolly lead, but you could also say that with the margin of error, it's very much down to the wire.
So this will be the smallest field since, well, the early 1970s, I understand. Is that right?
1973, which takes us back 52 years. Because we've had, some candidates supported and not opposed. You go to 1990, there were three candidates. You go to the 2011 one when Michael Dee was in. Fianna Fáil didn't contest that one, by the way, but there were seven candidates and there were six at the last one in 2018. A lot of dragons from Dragon's Den appearing on the tickets there, but it's really just a two-horse race now for this one. And it'll be an all-female ticket too.
And tell me, how does this change then the dynamic or the race or the calculations of either campaign? What will change in terms of the tactics, do you suspect, if any, for Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys?
I don't think Catherine Connolly will change tactic. There's no need for her to do so. She has very much united the left, it seems, around her candidacy, that voters from Sinn Féin, at least, and other parts of the left are moving towards her. We don't know for sure what some of the smaller party support, like Labour and that, are doing. You'd imagine some of them might not be so supportive. But the challenge now is for Heather Humphreys, because without a Fianna Fáil candidate on the ticket, a viable one, and with the likes of Maria Steen, a kind of a pro-life, more conservative option not there either, the motivation for those groups of voters to go out and vote potentially for Heather Humphreys is going to be really diminished. So her job is going to be needing to find the right message that is going to be a kind of a pan-centre-right message, you might find, that will actually motivate those voters to go out and vote for her.
Conor Lenehan, do you suspect there'll be pressure now in Fianna Fáil to possibly row in behind Heather Humphreys' campaign or just sit out this election?
Well, I don't think the leadership in Fianna Fáil is in any position to give direction to anybody, least of all their own supporters or CDs, to canvass in a particular way. I mean, there was enough hostility before this particular incident in relation to Jim Gavin owing £3,000. Before that, it was pretty hard to motivate people to vote for the Fianna Fáil candidate, because they didn't feel he was a Fianna Fáil candidate, either in his origins or in his demeanour or in what he'd done previously, other than coaching and training and managing the Dublin football team. Nobody saw sight nor sound of him around a campaign over the last 10, 20 years for Fianna Fáil. So, you know, I think it was going to be catastrophically difficult to get Fianna Fáil voters and Fianna Fáil supporters out for him, even before he had his car crash with the £3,000. But I think it's going to be absolutely impossible for the party leadership in this situation to direct people to vote anyway.
Yeah. It is a farce. Conor, thanks a million. Conor Lenehan, the former Fianna Fáil Minister, David W. Higgins, independent economist and political analyst.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.